We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 10th chapter, the 17th Pasuk. The way we do this class is, unless you guys choose differently, previous groups wanted me to read it with the ancient tune and then explain the verse. If any of you prefer not, just let me know. So we're continuing. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Orach lechayim shomer musar. When a person watches over his morality, when a person watches himself to lead a moral life, that is orach lechayim. That is the path to life. And it's very interesting that you look around the world is constantly trying to sell us. You want to live it up, and yes. Suddenly they're showing us things that are immoral. That's called living it up. Comes Shlomo Amech and says, no, you want the path to life? That's maintaining your morality. And when a person leaves rebuke, that's when he errs off the path of life. Meaning, it's very tempting. I said in a chinuch class in the beginning of the week, when you rebuke someone, he has two choices. Either to think, I'm wrong, or I hate you. That's not what you think, but that's what we feel. It's what we feel. Sometimes we feel both. I'm wrong and I hate you. Why'd you have to tell me? That's our natural reaction. But intelligent people appreciate the rebuke. Ozev tochachat, one who leaves the rebuke, mateh. So he is off the path. Now the word mateh has multiple understandings. One understanding is he is in error. Another understanding is he causes error. We have to realize that whatever we do has an effect. It's like a pebble in the puddle. There's a ripple effect. It's not just me. I was thinking about it the other day. Who was it? I don't remember the exact case, but one of the guys gave another guy a loan, and the guy skipped town. And I was thinking to myself, you know, he not only hurt the guy who didn't get paid back, he also hurt the next guy who's going to want a loan from him. Because the next time, he's going to think 10 times, and he, even if he gives the loan, it won't be with such a smile. I definitely think he should have protected himself, he should have taken collateral, etc. But he didn't only hurt the guy, he hurt a lot of other people. And that's often the case. You know, you trick a guy once, but what's going to be? What type of person is he afterwards? Ozev tochachat, one who leaves rebuke mat'eh. Ultimately, he causes others to err as well. Pasuk yudchet, mechase sin'ah, sifte shaker. A person who covers the hatred in his heart and deep down inside, he hates the other guy, but he doesn't say it overtly, and he doesn't resolve the issue. So what he's causing is sifte shaker, that his lips will lie. This is a complicated pasuk because you have a boss, and you think he's being unfair to you. What do most people do? They boil. And they contemplate, should I say something? Shouldn't I say something? Is it worth my job or not? So they start talking about the boss with other people. And that's the conclusion of the pasuk. Umotzi dibah hu kesin. People who spread rumors, who speak badly about other people, that's a fool. But that's the way most of us behave. When we're stuck with the situation where we don't like what the other guy's doing, but we don't feel like we can contend with it, and we don't want to take it to task over it. So sometimes we're right. But very often, we don't have the full picture. And so we have to go and speak to the person. Try to get a better picture of what's going on. And if not, we have to realize that we're cornering ourselves to this sifte shaker, lips of falsehood, and ultimately where people end up most often is motzi dibah. They're talking to other people, they're talking to their wife, they're talking to their friend, they're talking to their coworker, and they might be totally off. That's a fool, says Shlomo HaMelech. Anyone who spreads rumors. Yeah, you guys know how many times I got married before I even started dating? Someone decided to spread a rumor. I wasn't dating. I got phone calls 3 times. There were rumors I was engaged when I wasn't even dating. I hadn't even started dating. Okay.
Somebody what? Pick you off the market and then listen up.
I don't know. I never bothered checking where the rumors started.
It's a table. It's like this diagram. The website's in your envelope.
It took 3 years to get there, 5 years. I don't remember. I don't think so. Okay. V'rov devarim lo yechdal pahasha v'chosech sefatav maskil. You could hang this pasuk over your workplace, put it, stick it to your wallet. This is maybe a pasuk that you know could save a person his whole life. V'rov devarim. When you talk a lot, lo yechdal pasha, you won't avoid being negligent. At some point, you're going to slip. You're going to say something you shouldn't have said. You have to realize, berov devarim, when you speak too much, lo yechdal pasha. There's no way you're going to avoid sin. There's no way you're going to avoid negligence. Vechosech sifatav, and a person who can save on his lip service, who could withhold his lips, maskil, that's someone who's intelligent, that's someone who's thought out. And again, this pasuk should be a person's motto. Very often, that's the way people bring about their own downfall. I don't think I have to add anything to the pasuk. So, you know, speaks for itself. The Gemara says, Milta bechad, if the spoken word is worth one, Shtikuta betrein, then the silenced word is worth two. And all this is external to Torah. In Torah, the more said, the better. You're building, you're producing, you're educating, you're moving the world forward. In Torah, the more said, the better. But once you leave Torah, any other conversation, if it's just idle chatter, be very careful. Yeah. Huh?
But Torah's noise is platinum?
Right. I don't know. Gold outweighed platinum lately, no? Pasukha. Kesef nivchar. Lishon tzadik. The tongue of the righteous is like the most chosen silver. Lev reshaim kim'at. The hearts of the wicked, says Shlomo HaMelech, Lev Rishaim Kim'at. The heart of the wicked is minuscule. It's ki like me'at, like minuscule, meaning their capacity to understand is so limited. And the question here is how you understand the pasuk. One understanding is the righteous tries talking to the wicked. He tries explaining it to them. But their capacity to understand is so limited that they don't even get it. There's a medrash here about Ido the prophet. Ido the prophet comes down to goes up to the north. He goes up to the altar that Yeravam ben Nevat erected for his idol, right? Yeravam ben Nevat erected a golden calf, and he has all of Israel worshiping that golden calf. And the prophet Ido comes out and prophesizes over the altar. He says, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, altar, altar. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, you will be destroyed, and that man's bones will still burn here, he says about Yeravam. And the sign that what I'm saying is true is that the Mizbeach will crack and all the hearth will pour out. And a second later, the Mizbeach cracks and all the hearth pours out. How does Yeravam react? Yeravam stretches out his hand and says, Tifsu, grab him. And Yeravam's hand goes bad. Yeravam's hand, he loses control of his hand. And Yeravam comes and begs Ido. He says, please beg Hashem to give me back my hand. I should be able to use my hand again. And Ido davens, and his hand is healed. You think about that. even as he's asking Ido to pray, he says, speak to Hashem, your God. He should give me back my hand. Your God, not my God. He did a miracle before you. Your own hand. You need your hand back. Yeah, but I don't want to accept him. Lev Resha'im Kim'at. The heart of the wicked is so small. His hand is returned to him, and he continues sacrificing on the altar. Chazal say, it says his hand was returned. From here we understand it was returned to the same place it was holding a minute ago. So he sees all these miracles, but he's not willing to listen. And that's the way it is in life. Sometimes you could hear the most golden words, but you have to have the capacity to listen. Correct. Correct. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, huh?
That must have been difficult, no?
Okay. But he didn't want to show in front of the people that he had conceded. Whatever he had to, he did, and beyond that, he didn't want.
But he was a king, so
he? Right.
So when you concede, he looks kind of silly that he's not.
Maybe, but maybe not. Because when I show that, you didn't convince me, so then I'm holding people in line.
Yeah, but now he's showing the people that, because I'm guessing he's the whole thing behind this is that he's offering up to foreign gods. So what kind of cover does that have to be to offer up to what he does worship, to be offering on a broken altar?
Right, and all the miracles, everyone saw all the miracles. But you see, if you stand here and imagine you're standing there and he's continuing to sacrifice, so to a certain degree it's like nothing happened. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Siftei Tzadik, Yir'u Rabim. The lips of the righteous, they shepherd many. Meaning, many people are guided by his lips, by his teaching. Yir'u could also mean to graze, to shepherd the sheep, to graze. And many people enjoy the fruits of what he teaches. Siftei Tzadik. In his merit, in his tefillah, in his Torah, in his merit, a lot of people have food. Ve'evinim b'chasalev yamutu, whereas the sinful, they pass, but the reason they pass is b'chasalev, because they refuse to listen. And this is one of the difficult things that one sees in life. You see people who they're never going to learn. There was a guy, not one, unfortunately, I've seen this story numerous times. People try to develop a business. So this could be a caterer, this could be a plumber, this could be any business. They hire him. They call him, they set a time. He doesn't show. You do it a second time, he still doesn't show. The third time, you ain't calling him. And he could be your best friend. I have a few friends like that. Not one, not two. As I'm thinking, the numbers go up. How could you hire a person like that? But the problem is that you realize, I've seen some of these friends of mine where people call them over and say, don't you understand I'm never going to hire you again? Don't you understand? I like you. I'm your friend. I want to hire you, but I'm not going to do it again. If I had to wait 3 days without a dude and my family didn't have hot water because you kept promising you're coming, you're coming, you're coming, why do you think I'm ever going to hire you again? We're good friends, and I understand you're busy, and I understand everything, but at the end of the day, you said you're coming.
That's actually more common amongst friends and family. They'll understand.
At the end of the day, very often, a person's just not hearing. And we all have those blind spots where we don't hear. People are telling you. And they're doing us a favor when they tell us. When a person takes the time and tells us, you should know, I'm upset that you did A or B, and I'm not about to continue with you because of it. They did you a big favor.
Because you didn't do it again.
Oh, that's if you listen. The problem is most people don't listen.
Even that?
Oh, yeah. What?
When they get hurt head and they offer on the program's day after they were just hanging in.
Oh, so again, that's the same idea, yes. But part of being a righteous person is allowing ourselves to grow. allowing ourselves to listen. The evil, the sinner, he's not a sinner because he erred. He's a sinner because he's not willing to learn. So he keeps repeating that mistake. So he keeps hurting people. The evilim b'chaser lev yamutu. The reason they die that way is because they lack the heart, which is another way of saying they lack the understanding. They're not willing to hear. And if a person's not willing to hear, then he's stuck where he is. He's not moving. And the truth is, we all have aspects that we are that way. That we all have those points where people talk to us and they tell us and they warn us. We don't hear it. What's a good example to that? I remember when I came to Israel, so my Israeli friends would constantly tell me, stop being such an American. So I said, what do you mean? They said, when you talk, everyone hears you. The whole base medrash hears when you talk. Americans, everyone hears them. Mm-hmm. So it took me time to catch on that they're right. We do talk louder than everyone else does. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe Italians also do.
That's because that America is a bigger country. So that we feel good.
Does it make sense?
No, I think it's a social, it's a part of our, part of what's accepted in our society. Today, I see it more. Because today, I'm more Israeli. So I see that aspect more. I came back from Israel once, and I went to talk to a Rebbe of mine, and every conversation, we were dealing with a certain Stucker project, every time I'd meet him, I'd start talking to him right away about the project. And he'd let me say a sentence or two, and then he'd say, Shalom Aleichem, Netanel. It's so good to see you. How are you? And I'd look at him stunned, like, what's he doing? And after two or three times, he stopped me and he said, you can be a human being. You came back from Israel, but you could still say hello. You could say Shalom Aleichem. You don't have to begin a conversation with what you want. You could begin the conversation with, hi, Rebbe, how are you? Then you could tell me what you want. Oh, it stung, but it was an important message. I learned from it. But we have, no one's expected to be perfect, but we are expected to open our hearts, be willing to listen, and then be able to learn from that. The Evil, says Shlomo Amelch, it's because he's not willing to listen. And again, we all have points where we're not willing to listen. So we have to open them up and learn to listen. Listen when it's not comfortable to listen. Listen so we could learn.
Did you say something?
Did I say something?
Yes.
No?
Okay.
Pasuk Chaf Beis. He wants to start a routine with me.
Yeah, I see
it. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Birkat Hashem hitashir velo yosif etzev ima. When Hashem gives blessing, Hashem gives wealth. And you don't have to work hard afterwards. You don't need any work with it. And this pasuk, first of all, gives us a certain perspective. We're going to see throughout Mishlei, we have a tendency to worship wealth. We have a tendency to assume that if a person is wealthy, then he's very, very smart. So I spoke to a friend of mine who's a big investor in an investment firm, and I told him a certain theory, and he said to me, you're 100% right, but don't do it. I said, what do you mean? He said, because every day you have about 1,000 people who have a theory, and they're 100% right. And every day you have about 1,000 people who lose their money. And then you have this one in about 1 million who gets it right, and everyone says, what a genius. Who said he was a genius? The other theories were just as good on papers as his. So why is he called a genius? Because he got rich. So they say he's a genius. Were the other guys less genius than him? He said to me, look, I've been with the top. He works with a firm where in order to open an account, you have to put in $1 million. Less than that, you can't even open an account with them. So the smallest account by them is $1 million. So he said, I'm dealing with the top investors. Believe me, I see what's going on out there. Everyone has good theories. But somehow, only the ones that work are geniuses. And yet on paper, no one knows how to forecast whose theory is better than the other ones. Comes Shlomo HaMelech and tells us, you want to know where wealth comes from? Yeah, you have to work hard. Yeah, you have to do your end of the deal. But at the end of the day, Birkat Hashem Ishtashir. It's Hashem's blessing that makes a person wealthy. You could have two people trying to do the same thing, working just as hard, and one's going to succeed, another one won't. Go figure. Yeah. Birkat Hashem ita ashir. It's Hashem's blessing that makes one wealthy. Pasuk chaf gimen. Kishok lichsin. Asot zimah. V'chokmah le'ish tevuna. Kishok lichsin. Just like laughing is something easy for the fool, by the same token, to his mind, it is easy to do an act of wickedness. This is a point that it's hard to hear, and yet it's important to know. We sometimes underestimate the power of evil. We think that it's hard for someone to do something evil. And Shlomo HaMelech here tells us, no, it's easy. It's as easy as laughing. We have to know that people are willing to be evil, and that when a person is willing to be evil, then it's easy for him to be evil. Don't think it's going to be hard for him. And there are two lessons in this. One lesson is to be prepared for it. People sometimes like to think, if someone would break into the house, then they wouldn't do A, B, or C. Who told you? Why do you assume so? Nah, no one would be so cruel to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we're just at the anniversary, the year of the Fogel family. Look at what people.
A year ago?
Yeah. Look at what. Look at what was done 1 year ago.
Yesterday was the year.
Yesterday was the year. So there's no. I think there's another important point here. Here, Shlomo HaMelech does not call the evil person evil. He tells us something else. He tells us he's a fool. We have to know there are intelligent, evil people, and there are foolish, evil people. Maybe it's not politically correct to say what I'm saying now. But when a person's stupid, they could do a lot of evil. And the fact that they're stupid...
Isn't it easier to... Evil when you're stupid.
Right. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Only makes it easy. Because you go over to a guy's wife and you tell him, you know, your husband, he just got a raise 3 weeks ago. I wonder if he told you.
What?
He got a raise 3 weeks ago. Did you think for a second what would be if he didn't tell her? But when you're stupid... So it's even easier to do these things, but that doesn't make them not evil. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Kischok lichsil." Just as laughing is easy for the fool, so too is asot zima, to do plots of evil. The inverse of that, "Bechokhmah liish tevunan," by the same token, wisdom comes easy for a man of understanding. So obviously, we have to choose. Okay.